She writes poetry. She plays the violin. She tries to play the part. Somehow she never wins. She grabs a stick of gum after her cigarette. She puts on her smile and tries to hide her mess and makes herself at home in loneliness and fixes her dress. Somebody loves you. Somebody loves you. Somebody loves you just the way you are. And I can't fix you. And I can't change you. But I can love you just the way you are. Just the way you are. She drives a rusted car. It's always out of gas. She paints her fingernails every shade of black. She makes mistakes. She makes them loud. And she tries so hard not to let me down. When will she just learn to love herself? Oh, really love herself. Somebody loves you.
Today, I want to tell you about my hero. Her name is Rhea, and she was somebody who loved me just the way I was. I met Rhea for the first time in the late 1990s, a lifetime, your lifetime ago. I was a brand new believer. I had just lost my dad to cancer. I was emerging from years of hurt and anger and mistrust. I had lived years of my life by the motto, hit first and hit hard. I had been hurt so many times that I had vowed I would never again let people close enough to hurt me. I wore my mistrust and anger like a suit of armor and took pride in the fact that I never cried. Crying was weak. Showing emotion made me a victim. So I was tough. I hid the mess inside under a mask of confidence and competence and made myself at home in loneliness. No one had any idea who I was on the inside. They only ever saw the outside me that I presented to the world. I met Rhea at camp. I was there to help in the kitchen. Can we get rid of this ring? Is there something I'm doing wrong? I've never worn one of these before. I was there to help in the kitchen, and she and her husband were the directors of the camp. I was terrified of them. Not because they were cruel or unkind, they were anything but. No, I was terrified of them because they seemed utterly impervious to my bluster. You see, if ever anyone tried to get close to me emotionally, I pushed them away. I outsmarted them, gave them the brush off, turned the tables, used sarcasm, whatever was necessary to deflect any kind of emotional probing. If none of that worked, I would lash out in anger. That always worked. I didn't usually have to get into the getting angry stage because it was very easy to hide. People assumed they knew me and they never tried to get any closer. They had no idea who I was on the inside. Not Rhea. She prodded. She started poking her fingers into sore places in my soul that I had buried so deeply they were invisible pretty much to everybody. She prodded and poked and refused to be dissuaded. She knew that there was more to me than the imposter I presented to the world, and she would not give up. I knew there was something more too, but I loathed the person who was under the mask. She was small, weak, soiled, a victim, defenseless, disgusting, dirty, shameful, a loser, a fatherless orphan who had felt her own father had hated her anyway while he was alive and now he was gone. Yes, I knew that Jesus had died for my sins, but I carried the shame of those sins everywhere I went. It had been a huge enough struggle to know that Jesus saw the mess inside and loved me anyway, but I still hated me. And I couldn't believe for a second that anyone but God could see me and love me just the way I was. I was in Christ, but I had no idea who I was in Christ. So I did everything I could to keep Rhea away, lest she catch a glimpse of the nasty little street rat that hid inside the competent, unemotional shell. But it didn't work. And drastic times call for drastic measures. So I got angry. I swore at her. I yelled. I stormed off. My anger always, always drove people away. Except this time it didn't. When the anger burned out, there she was, quiet, looking deep into my soul with those probing eyes. My last line of defense had failed. I decided to stop hiding. Now please realize that I did not stop hiding because I began trusting. I didn't trust Rhea at all. It was far more a case of proving her wrong. Okay, if you think you could actually love the real me, I'll show you the real me, and you'll be so disgusted you'll finally leave me alone. I truly believed that's what would happen. So I began to let her see the faintest of glimpses of the hurting soul who lived inside my tough facade. Rhea and her husband Bill lived in the Ottawa area, and I lived in the GTA area. And after camp, we went our separate ways. But she wrote me. And I wrote her. In each letter, I showed her a little bit more. Every time I dropped a letter in the mailbox, yes, back in the days when we had real letters with real paper and real stamps, I had the urge to crawl inside the mailbox and fetch the letter back out. I think I would have actually done it if I had had longer arms or if I had been able to fit inside the mailbox. Each time I sent a letter, I lived in a welter of anxiety, truly believing that this was the time she would finally see enough to be disgusted and leave. There was a part of me that wished it would just happen so that she would finally leave me alone in my loneliness. There was another growing part of me that was beginning to desperately hope that it wouldn't happen just yet, because I was beginning to care for her. But there was no part of me that doubted for even a second that she would one day walk away. I believed with every fiber of my being that one day she would see enough of me that she would shrink back in horror and disgust. But you know, it never happened. Every time she wrote back with love, it was like she was a well of grace, and I was dropping into that well first pebbles and then rocks and stones and finally boulders of shame, fully expecting that at some point the rubble I was throwing in would form such a mountain that the water of her grace would not be able to rise above it to cover it. Instead, every time, every single time, the water of her grace rose to cover the boulders of my brokenness. And finally I got to the place where I realized that it didn't matter what I threw into that well. She was going to love me just the way I was. There was no way I could shake this woman. She was not going to leave. She couldn't fix me. She couldn't change me. But she sure as heck could love me just the way I was. That love, her love, God's love through her, changed me. It gave me courage to dream, courage to face the demons that had so long haunted my life. She loved me, and knowing that, I could face my brokenness. She didn't have to fix me or change me. She just loved me. And by loving me, I found the courage to face the areas that needed fixing and changing, and I allowed God to heal me. I moved, she moved, she moved again, I moved again. Letters became emails. Visits over coffee at Tim Hortons were thrown into the mix, and I changed and grew, and she loved and prayed. 5 years ago, she and her husband Bill were set to come home from a winter in Florida. It had been months since I had seen her in person, and I was looking forward to their return to this area. Then I got an email from Bill. They had come home a bit early. Rhea had a cough that she couldn't shake. They had gone to the doctor. She had been diagnosed with lung cancer. It was bad. And 10 days later, she died. Just like that. Gone. I went to her funeral instead of to Tim Hortons. I saw her in a casket instead of at a table. Those probing eyes that had looked so often into my soul were closed. I knew she was rejoicing with her dear Savior, but I was gutted. As you can see, I still miss her. And I've learned to cry. I miss her wisdom, her gentle humor, her unconditional love. Mostly, I miss her prayers. I know she prayed for me always, and I feel the loss of those prayers. But I am the person that I am today because of Rhea. Because she had the courage to ignore the armor I had built around my heart was able to thaw. Because she had the courage to love me when I was still covered in the blood of my rebirth, I began to be able to love myself and to grow up in Christ. Because she showed me the grace of God, I was able to face my sin and brokenness and to know not only that I was Christ's, but to know who I am in him. Beloved, cherished, his treasured possession. She taught me to love, to cry, to laugh, to pray, to be vulnerable, to be brave. I hope that in some small way, I am able to live out the legacy that she implanted in me. Rhea would be mortified and embarrassed to hear me speak about her as a hero. She would be the first to tell you that she was no hero. She had her share of struggles and sins and heartache in her life. She never wrote a book or went on tour or spoke to large audiences of adoring fans. She was a simple woman of God, just loving on a lost soul. She was a faithful servant. She had no illusions of grandeur. She never made impacts in splashy ways. I know that Rhea would rather be described by another song, and you're going to hear that song, and then I'll finish up.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Go down in history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Cause I'm just a nobody,
nobody
trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus.
Let me go down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's just fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. In all the ways of this world, Rhea was a nobody. But I will never again underestimate the power of a single, simple life lived in faithful obedience to Jesus. She may not have changed the world, but I saw Jesus in her in a way that changed my world. And I may never change the world, but it is my constant prayer through many got it right and got it terribly wrong moments that I will live in a way that people see nobody but Jesus. And you may never change the world, But whose life could you change if that person in you saw in you nobody but Jesus? That is a powerful, powerful thing. I thank the Lord always for her relentless love. In her, I saw Jesus, and Jesus changed me. It is the stuff of heroes. But the hero is not Rhea, or me, or you. Each of us is just a faithful member of the family. The hero of the story, of all of our stories, is nobody but Jesus. Thank you.